And welcome to Trigger Warning. This is Bev.
And this is Diz.
And we're starting it sounding really spooky and weird because this one is not a sad one.
No, it's a happy-ish one. It's a survival tale.
It's survival.
A tale of survival.
Yes. So we're acting a little punchy, but that's okay. But you said there'll be sad parts.
I mean, yeah, because it's survival, so bad things have to happen, okay. You know?
Bad things have to happen, so when the good things happen, we'll be like, yay, sunshine and roses.
And be like, woohoo!
Okay. Hi, guys! This is Bev.
And this is Diz.
And this is
Trigger Warning.
Okay. Diz, tell us your story of survival.
Hey, Bev.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Okay, so we're going to learn about the survival story of Jose Salvador Alvarenga.
Oh, my gosh.
You know who this is.
I do, and I'm excited about this one.
So
this one is amazeballs.
Trigger warnings for this? I mean, it's just sad, like we said in our intro. But
coming from me, who has thalassophobia, which is fear of dark, deep water.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. This is thalassophobia.
Okay,
so
that
you have
word,
a fear of the water.
Just be aware, you may not want to listen to this one.
Yeah.
There also is mention of cannibalism, but it's not, it's just mentioned. So I just want people to know, but just FYI.
But we're not going to tell you any recipes or anything.
No. We're not really going to hardly talk about it.
Yeah.
So,
just a brief mention.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, you guys ready?
Hey, you. Are you ready? Yes, I'm
We're talking
at you.
To you.
Hey, are you there? Okay. Yeah, you? Okay.
Put your phone on silent.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Okay. Okay. So, Jose Salvador Alvarenga was born in Garita, Palmera, El Salvador in 1975. When he was in his 20s, he had been making some poor choices in his life.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Okay. And during a bar fight during this time, he had been stabbed 11 times.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A few days after this bar fight, one of his assailants was killed, and they thought Jose had done it.
So Jose was not in a hospital a few days after this bar fight?
Apparently not.
Okay, Jose.
Anyway, so they're like, oh, it's Jose. He did it. And they put him on a hit list.
What?
A hit list.
Who thought he did it? I thought you meant the police thought he did
it.
They. Them?
That's it. And
The guy must have been, like,
I think.
The guy must have been hooked up with some people
or something. Maybe some gangs or whatever, you know.
Cartels or gangs or
El Salvador.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I don't know who.
Actually, I'll tell you about El Salvador in a second.
Okay.
So, at this time, El Salvador had one of the highest murder rates in the world.
Oh. And they think Jose just did it because he got stabbed 11 times?
Yeah.
Sounds like it was just some dude walking down the street and he got
killed.
Yeah.
11 times, you're going to
I'm sorry,
kill
but
someone's...
I'm already rooting for Jose, so sorry.
Right?
I don't think he did it.
So, he's on a hit list. He's like, oh, shoot. I got to get out of here. So, he leaves. He leaves his girlfriend, his young daughter, and his parents behind.
Oh.
So, once he leaves, he is a partier, drinker, likes to have a good time.
And how old was he at this point?
So he would have been in his 20s.
Okay.
They didn't give a specific age or even
a date or anything. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Now we're going to get a date, but this is for the actual
event.
Now we're talking about the actual situation.
Okay.
On November 16th, 2012, Jose, who was 36 at the time. See,
okay.
we can do math later.
Yep.
And his much less experienced crewmate, Ezekiel Cordoba, who was 22 at the time, leave from Costa Azul, Mexico for a 30-hour deep-sea fishing trip.
Okay.
Okay?
So has he been in Mexico since he left El Salvador?
They didn't say that he specifically was there, but, I mean, it's not far away.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if that's where he just ran to and tried to stay out of the way.
But he also works here, so I think he's eventually made his way there, maybe.
Okay.
I'm not sure. So they're going on this deep sea fishing trip. They were going to be anywhere from 50 to 100 miles out to sea to deep sea fish.
Oh, I don't like that idea.
I'm not going to say any more about the deep sea.
There's deep water there.
So they're out there fishing. And while they're out there, a storm, massive storm, hits them. And they had kind of seen that it was coming, because by this time, Jose's, he's like a master fisherman, okay? He's really good.
Right, okay.
And so he knows about weather and all that, but they were doing so well fishing in this area, they didn't want to leave. So finally it was like, we got to get out of here. So he tries to head back to Costa Azul, Mexico. And at this time, it is massive dumping. Hundreds of gallons of water on them. That is how bad this storm is.
Geez.
Okay? And they're concerned that the boat is either going to sink or it's going to flip.
Right.
Okay?
Which both of those, in case you didn't know, they're bad.
And scary.
And scary.
So let's talk about his boat for a second. So first of all, Jose, he has another friend who was usually his crewmate that wasn't able to come, but they called themselves the Shark Hunters.
Okay.
Okay. But so they have Jose's boat. It's 25 feet long. It's about 5 or 6 feet wide, which is not that wide.
Right.
That's like a person.
Yeah. But very long and skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was fiberglass.
Okay.
Thought that was interesting. On it, no running lights, no cabin, no sails, no mast. Essentially, it was flat.
Just a bare bones boat for him to fish and
hope. And you
to
couldn't
make money.
See it on the ocean very well. In fact, they were talking about at one point the color of it matched the ocean.
Nice.
Anyway, so it was basically like he was camouflaged.
Oh, no.
It was flat. Okay? On board his fiberglass boat is a fiberglass crate, and this is like their ice box for their catch. And so they would have like tuna, shark, mahi-mahi, things like that.
Okay.
They had, all right, there's a bunch of things. 70 gallons of gasoline, 16 gallons of water, 50 pounds of bait sardines, 200 pounds of ice, 700 fishing hooks, one harpoon, miles and miles of fishing line, three knives, three bailing buckets, a cell phone in a Ziploc bag, a GPS device that was not waterproof, a two-way radio that had been half-charged, and some wrenches.
Wow.
So they were very much ready for anything.
Ready for the storm.
Of the century.
Of the century.
So, like I said, Jose's usual crewmate, his name was Ray Perez. He bowed out at the last minute. Don't really know the reason why. Jose was like, I really want to go out and fish, because they're hoping to make more money, obviously.
Right.
So I don't know exactly where he finds this person, but he gets Ezekiel to go with him.
Okay.
They, from what I understand, they had never met, and they'd never obviously worked together. And Ezekiel was making $50.
Okay.
Doing this. And just FYI, he wasn't a fisherman. He was 22, and he had been the defensive star on the soccer team. That's okay. What Ezekiel had done.
He basically was just like, yeah, I'll make a little
I'll
extra money to
bucks,
go with you. Yeah.
Go out
well, because he probably figured that Jose knew what he was doing, and, you know,
it's a day
he would
a
just
half
do whatever,
whatever
Jose told him to do, yeah. And he'd be out on the water for a day and
no biggie.
Make $50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they're out here. Storm's getting worse, and Ezekiel is freaking out. He's losing hope. He's like, this is insane.
This is me, by the way. This is what I would be doing.
He has been bailing out, bailing the water out. And Jose's just trying to get them headed the right direction. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Ezekiel's freaking out. He's yelling. He's hanging onto the railing that they did have in a section. He's vomiting. He's crying.
Of course.
He was positive since this is a fiberglass boat, that it was just going to keep getting battered and it was just going to disintegrate.
Right.
They would end up in the water and the sharks would eat them. That is what he thought was going to happen. That is valid.
I mean, yeah, that is a valid fear. Absolutely.
So he's still screaming. And
he's just thinking, why didn't I stay home and play soccer?
So they're getting bashed. Or so, football. You know, there's lots of... True. There's, you know, they're going up and down over the water.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, Ezekiel gets tossed out of the boat.
Oh, no.
And Jose saves him by pulling him in by his hair.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
That is what one source said. He had to pull him back in by his hair.
By his hair.
So no wonder he was freaking out, because that's terrifying.
Yeah, it is.
So the storm continues on. This storm is so bad that the harbor masters along the coast were not allowing any fishing boats to go out at all.
But it was too late.
For
this
him.
This came after Jose after, had already gone out.
But they're like,
gosh,
this is going to be bad. Yeah. Nobody can go out. So if you were trying to get your boat out, you couldn't. They weather the storm. Clouds begin to lift. And they're actually able to see kind of like miles across the water finally.
Oh,
so
wow.
They can
okay.
see. It's okay. At 9 a.m., Jose spots mountains on the horizon when he looks. And he's like, woo! When they're
so
about...
this is the next morning?
No, because they're going early in the morning.
Okay, so this is like, yeah, they probably got out there at like 5 a.m. or something.
Right.
Okay.
So when they're about 2 hours from land, from this little mountains on the horizon, their motor begins to sputter and dies.
Oh, no.
They try the radio and are able to get a hold of Jose's boss, whose name is Willie,
mm-hmm.
who is back in Costa Azul, Mexico.
Right, okay.
So they're talking to him. At this point, they have no GPS, no motor, no anchors.
They've basically been tossed around by the storm, so they have no idea where they are.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. They don't know where they are. And the anchor, which could have helped, like, stabilize them, and
right,
they wouldn't,
so they
like,
could at
tip,
least stay right there.
He had noticed before they went out that it wasn't there, but he's like, for some reason, it said because they were doing deep sea fishing, he didn't need it. But uh-huh. I would assume you would need it for deep sea fishing. But that's what it said.
I guess if it's too deep, the anchor won't.
I don't know.
Because it has to kind of land in the sand. I don't know. You know, we've been doing a lot of boat stuff lately, and I just don't know anything about it.
Because water.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Willie's like, hey, man. He's like, where are you? He's like, I don't know. The GPS is not working. Blah, 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 blah. And so Willie's like, don't even worry about it. We're coming to get you. Mm-hmm. Don't know how. He knows where to go. So,
well, he can at least know where he was headed, like where he was going out to fish.
But who knows how off course they might have gotten.
Yeah. But then they could also say, well, the storm was moving in from this direction into this direction.
Right.
So they have a search area, probably.
Yeah.
And,
so,
you know, fishermen know, like, the tides and the,
Yeah.
And the currents. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah, they know the currents of the ocean.
True.
And kind of how things run. Yeah.
I agree with you.
So maybe they had a good guess.
Hopefully.
I'm going to cut all that out.
Yeah, girl. Okay. So Jose is like, you got to come now. We're really getting fucked out here.
Uh-huh.
And this was the last words to anyone on shore.
Oh, boy.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's called foreshadowing.
So, now that things have calmed down a little bit as far as the weather, Ezekiel's like, okay, getting himself together a little bit more. Uh-huh. They begin working together to keep the ship from rolling. So I'm thinking the waves are still kind of bad, but they're not, like, getting pummeled.
Right.
So the waves that are coming are unpredictable. It's not like, oh, nice little wave, and you can, like, it's
right.
kind of crazy.
It's just choppy.
Now, then the swells begin of the waves. And they raise them, like, 3 stories high.
Oh.
And shit. Then drop them back down.
That is terrifying.
Now, this, to me, sounds like they're still in the middle of a storm. But apparently they weren't. Maybe it was just the aftermath.
Just ocean swells. You know, this is, like, if you have thalassophobia, and a fear of heights, which I don't know the fancy scientific name for, this would be terrifying.
Yeah. Absolutely, like, terrifying.
Three stories up and then plumbing into dark water.
And you're,
oh my gosh.
You're on a boat. You're not in a boat, really. Like, you're on a boat. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Jose's like, okay, what's going on? Like, it's all crazy. The boat's unsteady. And then he realizes it's because he has 1,100 pounds of fish that they had caught on the boat.
Oh, yeah.
And it was making it uneven and unsteady because the waves were so bad.
Yeah, and every time the boat shifted, the fish slid around,
right,
too.
Right, so it's top heavy.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, I'm going to dump half of it overboard, which is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That didn't help, so he dumps all of it.
Oh, that sucks. Like, the whole reason they went out there.
The entire reason he went out.
And that would draw sharks, I would think.
That's exactly right. The next thing in my notes is that they both knew that falling overboard was even more dangerous because dead fish, blood, and the sharks are coming.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, I'm terrified right now.
Okay, we're gonna move on.
Okay.
So soon they were like, okay, we gotta get rid of the ice that's heavy and the gasoline. So then they get rid of that. Jose's like, okay, I need an anchor. So he makes a sea anchor from 50 buoys, which I don't know where he had them, but that's what they said in a couple of different sources. And it floated behind them, and it kind of, like, provided drag and added stability to their boat.
Okay.
I don't know. I was like, where is he getting these things?
How could they not have, like, tied off a gas can on either side or something?
I mean, it is 25 feet long.
I don't know.
That's not going to help. I don't think. 50
They're heavy.
Buoys. All right, at 10 a.m.? So this was all at 9 a.m.
Okay.
At 10 a.m., the radio dies.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And another storm begins to hit. And this one lasts for 5 days.
What?
The storm lasted for 5 days. So now they're completely on their own. No way to reach anyone on shore. So they start bailing water again. That's about all they can do.
Oh my God.
So they bail and they bail. Shoulders aching, arms, back. It's backbreaking
their
work.
Arms
you're bent
probably
over.
Felt like rubber.
There's
no rest. There's no way to sleep. So you have to basically stay awake for 5 days to make sure the boat doesn't capsize.
So they're exhausted. They're aching. They can't stop what they're doing hardly. So Jose just gets pissed. He's just mad at the whole situation. He takes his club that he kept on there. And he beats the engine with it because he's pissed at it.
Okay. Because that's how men handle things.
Right? He's like, it's not working anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm going to beat the crap out of it. Then he takes the radio and the GPS and throws them both in the water because they're not working.
But what if they started working later?
I don't know.
I think if I was Ezekiel, I'd be like, are you out of your
Well, the radio
mind?
Was only half charged, so he couldn't charge it. The GPS, I don't know. So it's finally moved through the day, and it's nighttime, okay? They're soaking wet.
Uh-huh.
And they start getting really cold.
Right.
So they're like, what are we going to do? They flip the ice box, the fiberglass ice box over.
Uh-huh.
And take shelter inside of it.
Oh, okay.
Like an igloo, only not ice, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. It cuts the wind off of
them. So they actually wrap their arms and legs around each other in like a big hug to try to stay warm. But then they would have to, one would have to get out and take turns bailing water for like 10 or 15 minutes at a time.
Oh, man.
So, slowly they start making a dent in the amount of water that they need to bail. Like, it's finally going down some. So they're like, have mercy. Okay. Now, they have these gale force winds blowing in, pushing them farther and farther out to sea. So where they had been, there were sharks and more fish, because they were closer to shore.
Right.
Now they're being pushed farther out, where the sea life aren't as plentiful.
Right.
Okay? So they have no idea where they are. They have no bait, no hooks. They obviously have no engine, radio, or GPS.
Right.
They're exhausted, they're wet, They're probably starving. They're terrified. Mm-hmm. So as they continue on, Jose becomes the master fisherman. So he is catching fish by hand.
Oh my God.
So he is leaning, he's laying on the boat, leaning over the edge, looking for sharks still, like pressed against it as hard as he could to reach as far as he could in the water and wait until a fish would come. And obviously he didn't catch them at first. But then he would catch one, like he would dig his fingers into its scales.
Yeah.
And then he'd fling it on the boat. And Ezekiel back here would clean it and everything. Wow. They had like a little thing going. Okay. During the day, Ezekiel, when he was cleaning the fish, he would like slice them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would dry it in the sun like jerky almost.
Right.
So they had like fish jerky.
Yeah.
Go figure. Sometimes they caught turtles.
Uh-huh.
And it's that occasionally the flying fish would actually land in the boat.
Oh, wow.
Which would be really cool to see.
Yeah.
So then they would have flying fish.
So they'd be like, come to me. It was fast food.
Yeah.
Okay. Uber Eats. DoorDash.
DoorDash. Okay.
I'm sure the last thing that they wanted to eat at that point was more fish, but, you know.
Right? Okay, so within a few days of this, Jose starts drinking his own urine. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, Ezekiel, you better start because we can't drink the salt water.
Right.
And this is our only option. So,
yeah, unless they have something to catch rainwater in.
Right. If they can get water without a storm blowing them all over the heck, and they can actually, yeah, like, catch some water.
Right.
So later on, we know it's a survival story. Mm-hmm. Jose tells a reporter that he was so hungry, quote, I was eating my own fingernails.
Oh. Ugh.
Right? He also started eating jellyfish that he was catching.
Wow.
Jellyfish sting.
Yeah.
But he's like, it was okay. He's like, they would burn, like, the roof of my mouth and my throat, but it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
And it was something other than fish.
Fish, yeah.
So we're at about 14 days at sea at this point.
Oh, my God. And I bet his people on land at this point were like, they're gone.
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah.
So it begins to rain. And it's not a freaking crazy storm. It's
just rain.
So at first, they take all their freaking clothes off.
Mm-hmm.
And get fresh water on them, bathe a little bit.
Yeah, because that salt water and your clothes and stuff, it gets like,
and then you're hard, sweating crusty, during the day.
And then sweating. Oh,
yeah. So they did have a 5-gallon bucket that Ezekiel had actually like washed out and cleaned as best he could, and they collected water in that.
Good.
Okay, and then they started drinking water because they were thirsty.
Yeah, no doubt.
So after they took their clothes off in the rain and they drank water, they're like, okay, we got to slow down a little bit. They said during the storm, the rain, after 1 hour, they had like an inch of water in the bucket. After 2 hours, about 2 inches, that kind of thing. So then they're like, okay, we got to ration our water because we don't know how long we'll have it.
Yeah.
All right. So at this point now, we've come through weeks at sea.
Okay.
Okay. They are very good scavengers.
Yeah.
We all know that our oceans are not clean because people suck.
Right.
And our garbage ends up in them.
Yes.
But they would, anytime they would see plastic bottles drift by, they would catch them so they could put more water in them that when it rains the next time.
Yeah.
So they could try to have more water. At one point, they found like a floating green trash bag and they opened it and it had some already chewed chewing gum in it. But they were so excited about having something else to chew on.
Gross, but
they split it in half and shared it.
Oh.
There was a head of cabbage. There were some carrots, a quart of half rancid milk, and they ate and drank all of it.
Ooh.
Can you imagine?
I would think that would just make you throw up and then you'd be even more dehydrated.
So I said they drank it all and ate all of it, so they had some food saved up now.
Okay.
They weren't quite as stressed out about food.
Right.
And they had like just right after this, they were able to catch a turtle. So it was like something different. It's not like they caught a turtle every day. So they were eating, they were catching turtles and I guess more fish, and they just sat and talked about their families and all that. So at this point, they're at 2 months at sea.
Oh, good Lord.
By this time, Jose...
I know the story, and I'm still just like, oh my gosh, 2 months.
So
oh
he's used to eating birds, because they would sometimes be able to catch seabirds. I guess seagulls or whatever.
Right.
And turtles. Ezekiel, not doing great, though. He is having a hard time. Mentally and physically, he is declining fast.
Uh-huh.
He had eaten... Okay, so obviously everything they're eating is raw.
Right.
They can't, they don't
they
have
can't
a fire.
It, yeah. He should have kept that gasoline. Just kidding.
So Ezekiel, he had eaten raw seabird.
Uh-huh.
But apparently that seabird had eaten a poisonous snake. So he got really sick.
Oh, no.
And because of that, he didn't want anything. And then he just kept refusing food. And then he didn't have the energy to even lift the water bottle up to his mouth to take a drink of water.
Jeez, oh, and he's only 22?
He's 22.
Oh.
So they're sitting there. He's really depressed. And, you know, it's rough. It's bad right now. And so they make a pact. If Ezekiel survives, he would go and visit Jose's parents in El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
And if Jose survived, he would visit Ezekiel's mother in Mexico. And Ezekiel asked Jose to tell his mother to let me go and don't make any more tamales for me.
Aww.
Is that not the saddest thing you have
oh,
ever
that
heard?
That hurts my heart.
I could have, I was like, mm-mm.
That is sad.
And that to let him go and that he was like, he was
he
okay.
He was okay, yeah.
And don't try to feed me anymore. Like, because that, yeah. I was like, hmm. Okay.
Oh, gosh, that is
so they have their pact made. And they're scraping by. We're 10 weeks in, or 2.5 months now. And we get to Ezekiel's last day.
Oh, he was so young.
In the morning, Ezekiel tells Jose that he's dying. Jose's like, no, it's okay. It's fine. Hey, let's just rest a little bit. We'll just lay down. We're not catching fish or anything. So they lay down to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ezekiel's breathing gets labored. And he starts breathing really heavily. He won't drink any water. He starts convulsing. And then he died with his eyes open, which really made me sad, too.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
So, Jose, of course, is just heartbroken. He's kind of freaking out. He ends up propping Ezekiel's body up to keep him out of the water that's still splashing onto the deck at times
right.
and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then he just cries. And he cries and he cries and he cries for hours,
yeah.
he says.
Because the only thing worse than being stuck at sea is being stuck at sea alone.
Yeah. So, then Jose catches a bird, but he befriends it, and it makes him its pet.
Oh.
He makes it his pet, and he calls him Pancho.
Oh, that's so cute. This
I know.
Now it sounds like a Disney movie.
I know. Right? No, it's not.
No,
it's
not.
Not
at all. No.
So, Jose talks to Ezekiel's body.
Uh-huh.
Has conversations, and then one day, well, actually, it was not quite a week in after Ezekiel passed, Jose's like, oh my gosh, I'm having full-on conversations with a dead person.
Right.
I can't keep doing this.
Right.
This is not healthy. So, I gotta get rid of the body.
Yeah, and I mean, he had to have been decomposing pretty badly at that
right?
point, too.
So, Jose tells people that first thing he did was he washed Ezekiel's feet, which is the sign of it's an honor,
right.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said his clothes were useful because obviously they did have clothes on.
Right.
So he stripped off his shorts and the sweatshirt that Ezekiel was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just slid him over into the water. And he said, and then I fainted because he was overwhelmed.
Yeah.
He was by himself with Pancho.
Gosh.
So when he woke up, he had a little bit of a freak out,
uh-huh.
as one would.
Yeah, because he suddenly is like, I'm in the middle of the ocean by myself.
And he blames himself for inviting Ezekiel to come with him.
Oh.
He's feeling really guilty at the same time.
Yeah.
But he does have the will to live. He doesn't want to die.
Right.
So it keeps him going. He keeps scouring the horizon looking for things.
I think I hate to say it, but I probably would have been Ezekiel. I have so many issues.
Are you kidding me?
With the type of food that I eat and stuff, like textures of food and raw food.
I would have made it through the storm. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm like, I probably would have just been like, please just let me out of this situation.
I mean, I wouldn't have gone to help because we don't like being on the water. So.
Yeah, that's true. But
if I had to.
I have to give props to Jose for even continuing to want to try, especially when you're there by yourself now.
Yeah. And you feel guilty.
Yeah, with that guilt.
And as a young person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he says that approximately 20 cargo container ships had passed by him.
Yeah. Oh, those things are so freaking massive.
But
they're just like a little tiny dot.
And he's like, there was no activity on deck.
Yeah.
No one could be heard. So there was no help coming.
Yeah.
More storms start coming in. And he keeps going farther and farther out to sea. He said, in order to stay sane, I lived in my head.
Yeah.
He let his imagination run wild, and he said he would walk back and forth along, because it's 25 feet long ship.
Right.
And pretend like he was strolling along in a street, like, from his hometown or whatever.
Right.
And he said he ate delicious food in his mind.
Uh-huh.
He also said that he did other things in his head.
Uh-huh.
And it was the best he'd ever had. That's all I'm going to say, but I thought that was kind of hilarious.
I think she means sexual experiences.
Sorry, guys, but I thought it was funny. Anyway, so he starts using his skills that his grandfather had taught him to track lunar cycles.
Uh-huh.
And that helped you count the time that you were spending out on the sea.
Yeah.
And he said at that time he had spent 15 lunar cycles. I don't know exactly what that means, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
It's not like it's...
Yeah, it's the phases of the moon and
yeah,
when they cycle back around, so...
Anyway, it seems like a lot, so...
Okay, so we just stopped to look it up real quick. And
yeah.
It says that it's like 29 days is a lunar cycle, which makes sense, I guess, so...
15-ish months?
Yeah, 15 lunar cycles would be roughly 15 months.
Apparently.
That's a lot of months.
Okay, so he's continuing to drift across the sea. By himself. If he's not fishing or whatever, then he would like lay on the deck, look up at the sky or whatever.
Right.
So one day he's doing that and he starts seeing shorebirds flying above him.
Oh.
Not the seabirds.
Right.
Shorebirds. And he looks across the water and he sees a green island in front of him.
Holy shit.
Yep. And it's like a little small hill. And, like, the turquoise water right around it.
Right.
You know? He's like, I didn't see any roads. No people, no cars, no houses.
I would think I was hallucinating.
Right? I would think it was a mirage.
Yeah. I'd be like, no, I've actually lost it now. Or I'm dreaming. Or I'm hallucinating.
I've died
something.
Already.
Yeah.
And this is just what's happening
now. Yeah.
So, it takes an hour to drift closer.
Uh-huh.
And he says when he was about 10 yards away from shore, he just dove into the water. And swam. And then the waves actually carried him onto the beach. So at this point, I'm guessing his clothes have not survived well because he said he was naked when
no
he
doubt.
Hit the beach.
Yeah.
He's exhausted.
15 months. That's been a year and 3 months.
Yeah.
Holy
that's insane.
Crap.
So he's exhausted. He's weak. He can only stand for like a few seconds at a time. Because he spent most of his time laying or sitting, I think.
Yeah. Except when he was strolling down the street.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
That was way earlier, though.
Yeah.
So he starts crawling. And he's crawling over palm fronds, which is not a big deal, and some flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And sharp coconut shells.
Yeah.
But he doesn't care.
He doesn't care because he's on land.
He said, my body was totally destroyed and as skinny as a board. The only thing left was my intestines and gut. Plus skin and bones. My arms had no meat. My thigh were skinny and ugly. End quote.
Wow.
So he had landed on a Pacific. I don't know exactly how this is said, but it's an atoll.
Mm-hmm.
A-T-O-L-L.
Atoll, yeah.
Specifically, it's called Tile Islet.
Okay.
It's a small island that's part of the Iban Atoll on the southern tip of a group of 1,156 islands that make up the Marshall Islands.
Wow.
Okay? This just so happens to be one of the most remote spots in the world.
How many of these 1,000 islands are inhabited?
I don't know. And this was at the tip of one. At the tippy tip. So they said it was so remote that if a boat were to leave the island, it would have to go 4,000 miles northeast to hit land, which would be Alaska.
Holy crap.
Or 2,500 miles southwest to hit near Brisbane, Australia.
Wow.
So it's like smack in the middle of every, you know?
Yeah.
But far away from everything.
So the chances of happening to hit land, hit these islands,
yes,
was extraordinarily.
And they said if he had missed these islands, he would have continued drifting north of Australia, possibly to Papua New Guinea. Uh-huh. I think that makes sense. But most likely he would have gone another 3,000 miles towards the eastern coast of the Philippines.
Wow.
Okay.
Holy crap.
So he stumbles and crawls his way through the vegetation, the shells, and everything, and he comes to a canal. And across the canal, he sees a little beach house and a couple standing out there.
Oh my gosh, so there's people.
And their names are Emmy, and I don't know how to say their last name, so it's Emmy and Russell.
Okay.
Husband and wife. And they see him, and he sees them.
And they're like, there's death.
Okay,
walking over there,
on this crawling day, it is January 29th, 2014.
And he left what day?
In 2012.
Oh, wow.
So, they don't understand each other. They don't speak the same language, but they help him. They feed him. They tend to him as best they can. Yeah. The next morning, Russell sails across a small lagoon to the main town area and talks to the mayor. And it said within the hour, the mayor had sent police and nurses to help Jose.
Uh-huh.
Then they had to fiercely persuade him to get back on a boat so they could take him to, like, a hospital.
Right.
But they did, to the mainland. As they're on their way, his condition begins to decline, which I'm like, are you kidding me? He's made it this long and now he's... But
he's also had to, his body realized he didn't have to fight so hard anymore.
Right, so his feet and legs are swelling really bad. And the doctors think it's because they were so deprived of water so long, they started to absorb everything. So it was swelling. And he had a lot of parasites in his liver.
Oh, yeah, no,
because of the raw turtles and seabirds and stuff. Anyway, so they get him to the hospital, they stabilize him, he's okay, and he goes home to El Salvador. I guess he's not worried about that hit list anymore.
I guess not. After that, I'd be like, I can do anything.
He goes to El Salvador, and then when he's better off just in general and he's able to, he keeps his promise and visits Ezekiel's mother in Mexico. He's on land now. Life on land. He's not on sea anymore. He's still in shock.
Mm-hmm.
He has a deep fear of the ocean.
Uh-huh.
And the sight of water.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Okay.
He had to sleep with lights on, and he really needed constant company. He could not be by himself.
Oh, poor man. I mean, no doubt. He was by himself for
over
a year.
Yeah. So, since he had been rescued and everything, this was like a huge media thing. I think I actually remember seeing
him.
I do
vaguely remember seeing that, yeah.
If you see the pictures, you'll be like, oh my gosh, because he looks like a wild man.
Yeah.
Because he has, like, long hair and everything.
Everything would have been grown out and everything.
But
and
he had clothes on,
so. Yeah.
But I guess they gave him clothes. So, anyway, he started getting a ton of media requests from all over the world. And it was just too much for him to deal with. So, he hires a lawyer to handle this. He publishes a book.
Uh-huh.
Then he changes to another lawyer. His previous lawyer files a lawsuit demanding $1 million for breach of contract.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, he's been through enough. Leave him alone.
So it wasn't until about a year after he was rescued that he finally started processing and, like, dealing with the whole situation he had been through. And then 2 years after this, Ezekiel's family sues him for $1 million, accusing him of cannibalism. Because there's no body.
Oh my gosh.
So that's the cannibalism. They just think that, yeah.
Of course there's no body. He was in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Right. What's he going to do? Keep it over in the corner? Like, he tried that, but that's...
Yeah.
No. Anyway, that's... I never saw a resolution for any of it, but I don't believe he was made to pay anything.
Yeah, there was probably not enough evidence for them to say that he did that.
Right. So by the end of his entire journey, Jose had been adrift at sea in the Pacific Ocean for 14 months or 438 days.
Wow. That number just still...
And about a year of it, 12 months of it, was by himself. If you think about it.
Yeah.
Because Jose, or Ezekiel, only lasted a couple of months.
Right.
And he had drifted around 7,000 miles.
Wow. And that is the longest someone's ever survived at sea like that, right?
Yes.
Holy crap. 438 days.
The end.
That is, I had that listed as one of the possible things for me to look up and research, yeah, too. Because it's just
amazing.
Astounding.
That's exactly, yes, it.
And I mean, seriously, props to him. Because I don't think I could have done that.
I would be a hot mess.
Yeah. I would have freaked out early on and not made the right decisions. And
now, I do remember seeing some photos at the end of one of the articles I was reading. And he was on a boat again. Like, uh-huh, a small one. So I don't know if he, like...
Maybe that was part of him finally processing it.
I thought that was nice.
Yeah. I would get on a boat again, maybe in like 3 feet of water in a swimming pool. That's the way I would start it out.
Yeah.
And then I would never go near the
ocean. I would never get on a boat again.
I would probably move to like the most landlocked country in the world.
Midwest of the U.S.
Wow.
So that's the story, the amazing story of Jose.
That is
Salvador.
I mean, it did have sad parts.
It did.
Ezekiel, he was so young, and that's really sad. And the part about telling his mom not to make any tamales, that made me really sad,
right?
Too.
That made me so sad, but, like, that's what he was worried about.
Yeah.
Like, that is so sweet. He loved his mama. Anyway.
And I feel like, I don't know if obviously in that situation it was insane.
Yeah.
But I also can't imagine being the people on land and as days go by just starting to think, is it too late? Is there any hope that he could possibly still,
right,
be alive? That, you know.
Well, like, and because of the storms, they had to stop,
yeah,
the rescue efforts that they did have.
Right.
So they had searched, but the storms were too bad and,
yeah,
they couldn't take the risk of other people being,
right,
lost out at
and
sea.
After a while, like I said, it's like the chances of him of them still being alive were slim, and,
yeah,
it wasn't like cost effective, and wasn't,
like,
you know,
no one's going to think that
they
were able
the
to
danger
make it
and stuff for them to,
yeah,
to keep searching.
And I just wonder how Ray Perez feels. Like, did he get like a premonition that I shouldn't be on this boat? Or was he just,
right,
like, I just didn't want to go out that
or
day.
Or he had something else to do or,
right,
something, yeah.
I kind of wonder how he felt, you,
yeah,
know.
But if it had been him, would he have been like, no, Jose, we got to go back in. But what, like,
probably
as soon as
so.
I saw the storm, like,
I don't know,
because he had the experience, too.
But that
whereas
money.
Ezekiel didn't have the experience,
yeah, he
to
wouldn't
know
have known
how close the storm was.
Yeah.
So maybe the other guy would have been like, no, it's coming. We've got to go back in.
Yeah.
We'll go back in. We'll wait out the storm and then we can go back out or something like that, you know?
Or we'll just, today's a bus. Well, they already had.
Yeah, they were already doing great.
I mean,
apparently
close to whatever they had in there at that time.
Yeah.
Close to 1,100 pounds.
Yeah.
Already. So it's like, that's pretty dang good,
yeah,
I would think. And it's shark. It's not like little fish like I'm thinking. It's like shark.
Yeah.
And tuna. Tunas are,
yeah, they're
big.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
I
bet he doesn't want any fish either.
Oh, no. I would never eat another fish.
I'd be like, cheeseburger.
I
just
would
give
just
me
be
a cheeseburger
like,
or
I'd
vegetables.
Probably be like, I want vegetables and fruit and nothing meat ever again.
And potato chips. Just give me something crunchy.
Yeah. I want a candy bar and some potato chips.
And then cook everything. Yeah. So that's the amazing, amazing story of Jose. And Ezekiel, bless his heart.
Yeah.
Ezekiel did try to help.
Honestly, like, I've seen a couple stories just looking up stuff to do for future episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, one was like 63 days at sea, and one was like 76 days at sea. And
yeah.
Like, you know, so this kid made it like 60 days, roughly. So that's nothing to sneeze at.
And I don't know that he had ever really been out on a boat before.
Right, yeah.
Because it really didn't have a lot about him as far as...
He probably would not have made it that long if he hadn't been so, like, strong. If he was a soccer player and stuff, he was probably physically strong.
He was fit, yeah.
And healthy, you know. And, yeah, so he, you know, I just feel for him that he tried to eat whatever he could and it made him sick.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, and so much when it's survival is your mental health and, like, the hope you keep.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. That can keep you going longer.
Right.
When you don't have anything else.
Yeah. Because Jose was just like, I will not give up because I do not want to die.
Yeah. And he also had the knowledge, though.
Yeah.
Like, he had the knowledge of seeing...
Well, it sounds like he could tolerate the fish and the birds and
stuff
better.
Yeah, he didn't mind it as much.
Yeah. He probably didn't like it by any means, but he could tolerate it better.
He was 36.
Yeah.
He just lived more. And he was like, look, I almost got killed in El Salvador, so some raw fish and turtle, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I can handle this.
And he, I guess, every day thought, maybe today will be the day that somebody will see me.
Right? And to just think that they were, and this is in 2012, 2013, 2014.
Yeah. There were smartphones and that, GPS.
That there's a boat out there and no one sees it.
Yeah.
For months.
Yeah, and those, I see that a lot anytime I see a, you know, lost at sea kind of story.
Yeah.
Those shipping containers. Yeah, they're out in the middle of the ocean, but they are so incredibly massive.
Yeah.
That there is no way they
can
spot
locked
you.
Tight. They're locked tight. It's not like it's for pleasure.
And the motors and stuff, even if somebody was out on the bow, there's no way that they could hear you yell.
They wouldn't see his tiny little speck. Yeah.
You'd have to have a flare gun or something like that and somebody happening to look that way.
Yeah, if anyone... But they're not really made for people to be out on the deck or anything a lot.
Yeah.
It was just... And he said, like, 20 passed him during this time.
No doubt.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Because they follow currents in the ocean, and that's what he was drifting on, so...
They also, at that time, made comparisons to... Castaway with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Obviously it's not based on this story or anything, but that it had come out and, you know, I guess Pancho was his Wilson.
Yeah. Aww.
And I don't know what happened to Pancho. Oh, you know what? I think I do know what happened. I don't know. I'm just gonna leave it at Pancho survived.
Pancho.
And got to go back to his little bird family.
He probably had to eat Pancho because he didn't have anything else.
I can't remember if I read that or if I'm just making it up in my head because...
Or Pancho just maybe found land on his own and went away.
That's what happened. I'm sure. He just stayed at that little Pacific
atoll.
Yeah, he was like, I like it here.
Emmy and Russell or whatever.
Yeah, they were like, we'll take care of him. Yeah. You go on back to the mainland and get yourself together.
I bet it was hard to convince him to get back on a boat to go anywhere.
But, like, he had to get anywhere else.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, there you go, folks.
Thanks for that survival story,
You're welcome, Dad.
We are all Jose fans now. We're going to start
Jose.
A fan club. And I guess if you want to get in touch and suggest an episode or just say header or anything like that, you can email us at triggerwarning411@gmail.com. Or you can go on Facebook to TW Podcast, hosted by Bev and Diz. And I guess we will just catch you on the next one.
See you guys later.
So be good or be good at it.
Watch for deer.